Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini or Micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure.
On today's show, I'm joined by TV personality and host of the limited podcast series, Dying for Sex, Nikki Boyer. And we're talking about how even when things seem grim, it may actually spark a sexual awakening. Plus, I'm answering your sex and relationship questions. Topics include why during times of uncertainty, a sexual awakening can do wonders for your self-esteem. Maybe you can't go out and date right now, but some inspiration to open your mind to new sexual possibilities. Sex toys for penises that allow for some easy cleanup and some tips to keep things spicy in a long-distance relationship. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. Intentions with Emily. For each show, I'm going to start out by setting an intention, as you know, and it helps you guys do the same. So what I mean is, like, what do you want to get out of listening to this particular episode? It could be, wow, things are so uncertain now. Maybe sprucing up my sex life could be healing. My intention for the show is to show you that even when times are tough and things aren't necessarily going the way you want them to, you can always work on your pleasure. All right, enjoy the show.
Nikki Boyer.
Hi.
3-time Emmy Award-winning TV host. You've done a lot of fascinating things in your career.
Oh, thanks.
Journalist, but right now we are talking about your new podcast. You're the host of Dying for Sex.
Yes.
And I just, I mean, really the topic of it, I mean, essentially your friend had a sexual awakening after being diagnosed with cancer. And you thought, well, yeah, that's first of all, it's like death, like we were saying earlier, like death is like the antithesis of sex, right? Like I'm going to die. I might as well learn to live. So amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
So, yeah. How did this all come together? Tell me where you're like, oh yeah, that's sad, but amazing. And then a podcast.
Right. I know. Kind of. That's it. Thank you for having me. And thank you for like opening up the conversation about this because I'm so excited about this project. When Molly was diagnosed with stage four, that's a, for lack of a better word, is terminal. So when she got that news, she decided it was time to do something really bold. And so she left her marriage of 15 years and moved out and moved very close to where I was living at the time. Now, mind you, this was the second time that she had been diagnosed. So she went through it the first time, double mastectomy, chemo, loss of everything. Really, that felt like her and her womanhood. So when she got re-diagnosed, she was like, I can't do it again like that. So she left her relationship, moved really close to me, and she was going on all these sexual journeys. So when I'd pick her up, because she never, you know, like she hates driving. So I'd pick her up and she'd be like, I got to tell you what happened. And I remember there was a moment we were at a stoplight and I was like, there's something here. This is not the normal thing that people do when they get cancer, right?
And they don't leave their husband. They don't have a sexual awakening.
Right.
They're not as hopeful.
Completely
they're like, if
opposite.
Anything, I want to stay with them and I'm going to make peace with the fact that this is not working, but I need someone to...
So she said, I'm out.
She's amazing.
And then I said, I think this is a show. And in that moment I said, and I think it's called Dying for Sex. Like it all just went, woo.
I mean, talk about one of the best... Yes, exactly.
So we just went for it and then started recording episodes. Well, actually, we came up with the idea. We came up with an idea. We started pitching it to people and then finally friends of mine at this production company called Bold Souls said we should pitch this, but we should actually record some recordings. And then I brought those recordings to Wondery, who is amazing at storytelling, right? Like really digs in and goes there. And my producers there, just so awesome. And then we have the 6-episode series now called Dying for Sex. And episode 5 just came out
today.
Okay,
congratulations.
Thank
Everyone
you.
Can check it out wherever you listen to podcasts, which is awesome.
Isn't that nice?
Yes. Okay, so this is what, let's back up. So you are driving the car, stop late, and you're like, wow, she's having a sexual awakening. What does that look like? Like, how did you find sexual awakening, because I think that so many people, you know, I was saying earlier, like you don't have to get a diagnosis to decide that you want to have a sexual awakening.
I think that's really important to know is like, why are we waiting for bad news? Why are we waiting for something horrible and terminal to happen? I think that's part of what we're saying in this podcast is let's not wait for that. And let's give ourselves like permission to just go for it. And what I love about Molly, she does that. And she also lets you in on the messiness of it. Like, it's not always pretty and it's not always nice and it doesn't always fill her up the way she thinks it's going to, but she's really open about that in her process, which I think is healing and part of the sexual awakening, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you say? Because you've known her for a while. You probably
knew
her in her marriage.
Yeah, okay.
So you knew her in the marriage. So you know, like, what did that look like? Like, what were the things that maybe surprised you? The first sex thing where you're like, oh, wow, this is a story. Like, what was she telling you? Or this is a...
So I think the moment that I realized this was, like, not the normal, like, I'm just going to go on dates and make out with guys and have sex. It's when she started dipping into the fetish world and she was like, so there's a guy. He wants to come over and worship my feet. And I was like, that's it? She's like, yes. So there's this guy. He's really interested in, like, you know, dressing up as a clown and then having sex with me. And I was like, what? Like, I just remember my brain was, it was making sense, but I kept thinking, is this normal? Like, is this what happens? So that's when I realized it was not just sex. It was like fetishes and things that she was really open to because why not? Like she said, like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Like, I was like, be careful. She's like, what are they going to do? Kill me?
Like, and then one guy, like, she went over to the house and he just wanted to tickle. Like, he wanted her to tickle him.
She didn't really know that was happening until it started happening.
Fetish.
Yeah, that's it.
So
right?
Did she, do you feel like her, was it filling her up? I know not every situation turned out amazing, but how did you see the sexual connections, like, fill her up in a way?
Well, I think people can look at this a little bit and say, well, gosh, she was pleasing them. Was it really about her? Right. And I get that part of it. But I think for her, it was a way of gaining control, a way of using her body in a way that it kind of had been robbed from her. When they take your breasts away and they take your just things that make you feel like a woman and the parts of you that make you feel sexy. I think for her, it was like she wanted to use that. And so she did discover that through some of, you know, her escapades, that sometimes it would fill her up and sometimes she would feel empty. And she kind of tried to navigate that to see what it really was that she was looking for. So it wasn't just about the sex, even though that's kind of the entry point, for lack of a better word, literally. She used that to kind of figure other things and heal some old wounds from her life.
Yeah, you said that she healed some trauma too. Yeah. Like, how would you explain that process? Or what did she work through?
I think she was working. I think she was raw. I don't want to give too much away, okay. But I think she was kind of robbed of that thing that most of us get, which is exploring sexuality and sex on our terms as a young woman. She didn't really get that process. So I think this, in a way, was her sort of reclaiming that time that she didn't get in her youth. And she digs into that in a little bit in the episode that was released today. So she goes into that. And so it was different. You know, people are getting a little bit judgy, I think, because they're like, well, how could she do this and why? And I think where I go is to don't draw your line so deeply in the sand. Like, you never know what you're capable or what you're going to want to do when things get really intense and hard.
Yeah, I mean, you're so right. People put out, they hear sex and they're like, put up so many ways, so many protectors around them, yeah, to be like, oh, that's wrong. This is wrong. I can't listen anymore. And yeah. So to really say, no, I'm going to actually suspend my judgment and go into the podcast and listen, like, maybe I'll be inspired for something. Maybe yeah. I feel like that could be a lot of it, right? I mean, you must yeah. have been, how about you, Nikki Boyer? Did it impact your sex life at all? You were like, I'm going to go home to my partner and I'm super, actually, I wish you had a foot fetish. Right. I need a foot rub. Like, did anything right. happen like that?
It kind of just sort of widened my idea of what people get to do. I did get a little judgy here and there in the podcast with certain right. things. Like, I was like, ew. But I think now, looking back at it, I'm like, you know what? To each their own. I mean, certain things are too much, but everybody's got their way of expressing themselves. So what it did for me is it just sort of broadened my spectrum of like possibilities. So I haven't really changed much of what I'm doing, but I'm open to it.
Right, exactly.
But I do have to be honest. Like, yeah. my boyfriend would kill me if he knew I was saying this live on a show. But there's a part of me now that's kind of interested, and maybe we can talk about this for a second.
Yes,
I would love your opinion.
Of course.
I kind of like the idea now of like voyeurism,
yes.
like the voyeur, like watching, like not in being involved and not being in the room, but there's, and I know porn does that and chatterbait does
you're
that.
You're watching
like
someone
watching
else.
Watching someone else. And I don't know. I think
with your husband.
Yeah.
In
with my partner.
Oh,
with my boyfriend.
No, that's really, really common fantasy.
It is? Okay.
Absolutely. You're good.
Fascinated.
Welcome
by
to Sex with Emily.
Yeah, I know.
Everything's
right?
fine. You're all good. We all have fantasies. And we're not going to shame you or blame you. We're actually going to help you make that fantasy come true. If you want to. Name that fantasy.
Right?
No, but it is common because, first off, it's just in general.
Just in general.
Are you with your husband? And he's sitting
yeah,
next
I'd
to you?
Yeah, I'd like to watch it with him.
Oh, okay.
And
I'd like to like be... a play party
yeah.
or a sex party. Okay.
See, I've never been to any of this.
Yeah,
like,
so
I'm,
fun. Welcome.
I mean, yeah.
Do it. Yeah, we can help you. There's a lot of like different websites and play
you.
Parties. I'm serious.
That's amazing.
I literally want everybody's like fantasies to come true. I want to help everybody. I was going to use the word enable, but that's such a negative connotation. But I want to like in a
can
very
I ask
healthy
you
way.
A question?
Of course, babe.
Okay. So is there anything that you sort of had a fantasy about that you indulged in and it didn't kind of meet
that's
up to the
great
thing
question.
In your head? Like,
yeah,
I'm
like,
afraid
I like
the voyeurism.
I like you deflecting away from the voyeurism. Because before you leave, I'm going to help you take the next right step towards
okay.
the voyeurism fantasy.
Okay.
Has there been anything that I've wanted that I've been like, take it or leave it?
Well, no, you were like, oh, I'm interested. And then when it comes
and
to fruition, you're like, well, that was way better in my head.
Right.
That's what I'm afraid of with the voyeurism, where I'm going to see two bodies and I'm going to be like, nope, we're good.
Well, that's the best thing about it is that if you go to a play party, meaning it's like, they used to call them swinger parties or
okay.
play, you can get an invite or you can sign up and go on like a Saturday night. And there's usually rules like only couples can come and single women, and there's not an obligation to have sex, so you and your partner could decide to go and just kind of show up and just see how it is and kind mm-hmm. of ease into it. I find a lot of these parties are a lot like a regular party, but then eventually you look over and someone's having sex. Like, at first you're like, nice to meet you, my name's
wow.
Nikki Boyer, I'm Emily Morse, how's it going, clothes are on, and then like an hour in you're like, is she giving him a blowjob? What is going on in this?
I know in my brain this exists, but to go is a whole different experience.
Yeah. And no one, and the thing is, these parties are like, there's anonymity because no one wants to, like, I saw Nikki at a
right.
party, so I'm not going to go. You're
right.
like, I don't want to see my boss there. But then you're like, well, your boss was there.
Right.
You're all at a sex party. So anyway, yeah. So I think that's kind of how it all works. Then you could leave or you could have a safe word with
my
him.
Question.
My question is, what sexual fantasies of mine did I happen? I was like, no, let's check, you know, bucket list done. Don't
yeah.
have to do it again.
I know.
You know what? It's really hard. That's the second sexual spot I've been put on today. Like the sexual question that someone's asked me that I was like, yeah, it was what this guy, I'm going to this retreat. Emily, think about what would I be embarrassed to ask a partner for sexually in bed? Like, what do I want to fulfill sexually that I'm afraid to ask? And I'm like, I don't know. I really can't think of anything that went wrong. Like, I've had threesomes, but then I boarded them before it was a bad threesome. But I've had really good threesomes. And then I've had like an almost threesome where I was like, oh, this isn't going to be hot. And I ended it.
Ooh, that's smart.
Yes.
Right.
Because so much, I don't know if you had this, Nikki. In my life, I've had relationships or I've had sex with people that it was easier to keep going than to say no.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, well, I might as well just give him a blowjob. Or I might as well just have sex because I don't want to explain why I don't want to have sex.
Right.
Which is, I mean, I don't want to do those things anymore.
No.
And I encourage all of you not to kind of not do that anymore.
Right.
Because once you learn what you want in bed and what feels good and you're really in touch with your body, you won't be able to just kind of pacify someone just because you want don't want them to feel better. Like, what about our own sexual needs?
Right.
But I think in the past, I've just followed through with things sexually, like that I wouldn't. But I can't think of anything that I did that.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I'm wondering if the voyeurism thing is just more of like a juicy thing to have in my head, but maybe in real life I would be.
Here's the best way to find out. Okay. First, dirty talk it when you're in bed. Like right now, I'm picturing us. We're at a party, and tonight, like you're looking at this couple, and she looks over at you, and we're watching them, and then, you know, you start grabbing me, and we're making out, and you just sort of talk it back and forth to see like a role play.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
To see how if that's hot.
I think my boyfriend will be very happy that I was on the show.
You could send
today.
Him this. So yeah, that's kind of like how you dip your toe in the water. Because, you know, many people are like, I don't know that I want to go all the way there. Because a lot of people do have like the threesome fantasies and stuff. And I'm like, well, first, don't just go out finding a third person tonight.
Right.
Role
play it. That's really good advice.
Thank you. So that's that. Okay. Yeah. So what else? So do you have any more sex questions for me? I'm thinking about my own sex thing.
Well,
how is your sexual communication with your partner? Do you think it's made you more like open?
That's a great question. Actually, doing this podcast with Molly has sort of allowed me to go, oh, I hadn't even thought of that. Or let me kind of push the envelope a little bit. So it has increased our sex. It has increased the communication around it, asking for things. But I'm so exhausted right now from working so much that I come home and sometimes like my version of sex is like a hot bath and he rubs my feet. Right. Like that's okay too.
That is sex.
Right?
Yes. We all get to decide what connection looks like with our partner.
Yeah.
Intimacy. That is intimacy.
Yeah.
But isn't it funny? I get what you mean. Like being exhausted all day because you're working on a sex show.
And then you come home.
Like, it's like the cobbler's kids have no shoes. You know, I'm like, yeah.
Oh my God,
this guy
so
that I'm dating, he's like, no shoes, right? Because I'm always like, I'm tired. I didn't have time for sex in the past. Anyway, I mean,
I love that.
It's ebbs and flows. But yeah, and that's totally fine. As long as you both get your needs met.
Yeah.
So then you talk about it, then it sounds like your sexual communication.
I think it's pretty good. I mean, we've been together for almost 11 years and going through this with Molly, I would bring things to him. I saw a lot of photos and masturbation videos and things that Molly would share with me. So I think there was a part of me that was like, whoa, like that's a lot. There's a lot to take in there from many, many different men. So coming home, you know, I would be like, oh, I saw this today, experienced this today. And it would kind of fuel things where you're like,
did you talk to him about it? Are you like,
yeah,
hey, is this what happened?
You know, it's funny though. I didn't find those videos and those pictures to be that hot.
Yeah.
Okay. Because there was a little bit of like, that's going to sound, there's a little bit of desperation underneath it, right?
Oh, when you come more to, like the dick pic was just a desperate looking dick penis.
The penis
that
itself
looks,
had this look.
Yeah. I was like,
help me.
Like trepidation. Do I really want this to be?
Right. Like, isn't that horrible that I'm saying this? And you're saying, I love this. No, it's not horrible. It's amazing.
Everything's great.
Everything is great. I don't know. It's just a little bit of like, oh God, they're trying so hard. Like they're literally like, this is so, like,
is it really
so
hard?
Much.
Is there a prop? Are you holding it up?
Like,
with
there's so much happening here. Like ease into it, boys. Like relax. So there's a little bit of like, whoa. Like, we don't, there's no foreplay anymore. It's just a giant wiener in your face. Like, give it a minute.
Right.
I don't know.
Give it a beat. No, we need, this is the thing. Women, we're not waiting. We're not sitting there going, God, right now, I'd just love to get a dick pic. Let me scroll through all my, like, we keep them maybe in our phone to show our friends. We delete them from our website, our DMs and Instagram. But yeah, there's something about the women. We want a little bit of, we want to turn on, we want to warm up. Just a bring, there's a dick pic that I did not choose to see.
And I think Molly did that. Like, she learned through doing, through trial and error, like, a wiener right off the bat isn't my thing. Like, I like a little conversation. She loves verbal foreplay and texting and photos of creases of bodies and things like that. So it was interesting.
Yeah. So she kind of figured out what she wanted, which is kind of the process of dating, I think, when you kind of put yourself on a path. You're like, okay, I do like sexting. I don't like dirty talk, or I don't want a dick pic ever. But what I like is that in the in your podcast, Dying for Sex, that you you use all the real, like, the texts and the images or the video or the audio and stuff. I think that's such a great, you feel like you're back
with
her.
Really, and I feel like it's the real deal. It's a real story. It's not like a fabrication or an idea. Like, it's the real story of Molly and her journey, and it's messy and it's beautiful. And it's not just about sex. It's about healing, and it's about female friendships, and just also figuring out what you want to do with the time you have left. And what I keep saying to people is, it's morbid, but we're all kind of dying.
Right?
Yeah. Like, we don't know when someone's going to go. So why are we waiting for that diagnosis to sort of live our fullest life? So what are you dying for? What do you want to live for? Like, what is that in you? So I hope that this podcast is not only fun and titillating, but kind of makes you sort of look at your life and go, what am I doing?
Like, absolutely.
What do I want to ask for?
No, Nikki, I think that is such a great point. And I feel like when something like that happens, I was going to ask you too, because having someone so close to you who's been sick, has that, have you re-examined your life too in ways? Has it kind of made you like, I don't have time for this worry, because who knows when, you know, what's going to happen with life? Or,
well, I think I just am naturally a kind of, like, I thrive on control and anxiety, and I'm trying to figure out how to let go of that. And I think sometimes my brain and my body aren't quite synced up with, like, let's relax. But I realize that the best way to practice that is just to be super present where you are and really mindful of where you are. Like, when you're with people, just take a deep breath and really be with them and try to just quiet the noise. And if we could just practice that,
nice. Well, that's like the punchline of every spiritual journey, every therapy, everything is like, well, at the end of the day, we need to breathe more and be present.
Isn't that crazy, though? That's the answer. But we're so resistant to it.
Yeah.
And love.
It's true. Like, connection, love, and intimacy, and presence.
Yeah.
I believe at the punchline in life, like, at the end of the day, at the end of our day or the end of our life, it's like, oh, I wish, or how about this? Not in the past tense. I'm so glad I loved, I had sex, I gave, that I was as present as I could be with these precious moments I had on this planet.
Yeah. And it's also a little bit about, this podcast is a little bit about forgiveness, forgiving ourselves, forgiving other people, and healing those things that, holding on to that, I guess, anger, frustration, or resentment is just killing you, right?
Right. It's a good life process to learn to release that stuff, because it just stacks up and carries us around. I think the story is super inspiring.
Thank
Nikki
you.
Boyer. So they can check out the rest of it. It's Nikki Boyer, NikkiBoyer on Instagram and Twitter. NikkiBoyer.com. We'll put it in the show notes at sexwithemily.com. I have to ask you the 5 questions we ask all of our guests, Nikki Boyer.
I love this.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Biggest turn on.
Confidence.
Biggest turn off.
Ugh. Ego.
What makes good sex?
Oh, lube.
Yes, baby. Something you would tell your younger self about sex and relationships.
Be a little safer. Mm. Be a little safer.
Number one sex tip.
If you're thinking about doing some toys and play, like, just buy the toy, bring it home, and just go for it. Just do it. Or order it on Amazon.
Or sexwithemily.com. Thank you for being
here. Oh my God. Order it at sexwithemily.com.
Just get a vibrator. You're right.
We send
wherever you find it. Dude, we're going to give you one before you leave. You get a parting gift.
It is Sex with
Emily. I know. It really is. Everyone gets a gift. You get a vibrator, and you get a vibrator. I'm Dr. Emily. This is Sex with Emily.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into your calls. And thank you again for supporting our sponsors. They've got some great products to keep you connected right now, and we would not be connected to you if not for them, and they wouldn't be in business if not for you. So thank you, everybody, for supporting them, and we'll be right back.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack.
Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Okay, we have Stacy, 35, in Illinois, just had a hysterectomy and needs advice about how to get back into sex.
All right. Hey, Stacy.
Hello.
Hi, Stacy. Thanks for calling. Hello. Hello. You're on.
So I had a total hysterectomy about 6 weeks ago. I did keep my ovaries.
Okay.
But I'm just kind of nervous getting back into sex because my doctor didn't explain any, you know, differences or
they
what
didn't
to expect.
Oh, really? No. That's just, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm so glad you called. So, okay. So it's, you know, it takes a while to get back into it, to get back into sex. It could take, you know, the doctor says like between 4 and 6 weeks is what they'll say. And that allows time for like scars to heal, like discharge and bleeding and all of that stuff to stop. But don't put that, I don't want you to have that. It's like women after childbirth, they're like, yeah, 6 weeks, it's not always the same. So just really pay attention to your body and like see how you're feeling. Okay. So I also think, you know, if you notice bleeding and all that, you should go back and see your doctor. You might get a little bit, you know, do they tell you anything like side effects? Like you might get,
I mean, like
sad
I'm
or
out, so I feel pretty good.
Right.
I just more questions about like, I didn't even know this until I researched on the internet, like the vaginal cuff that they make for you, how that affects like your sex life and orgasms and stuff like that. I don't understand that part.
Right. Right. A vaginal cuff.
Yeah, because yeah. When they take your cervix out. Yeah.
Right. No, I know. I mean, but you're saying that they didn't, they were like, there was nothing that you were told. So
no.
Like, I mean, here's the thing.
No, not a lot.
Okay. So you might have less interest in sex. You might, you know, you have to see what happens, but I feel like, you know, you'll still have orgasms. You'll have your clitoris, like your labia. You could be a little bit drier. You definitely want to use lube. You'll have sensations. I mean, I feel like, and how old you are,
35.
So, I mean, the most important thing is to, I think, I mean, I, to stay in touch right now with your whole, your sex life, your vulva, your vagina, like to still masturbate, doing your Kegel exercises and working your pelvic floor is a really important part of the recovery process. So do they tell you to do any of the exercises?
No.
Okay. So pelvic floor exercises are really, and most women, we kind of do them wrong. We like don't really know, you know, so I would recommend that you check out like there's like apps and stuff. Or I have an iPhone app called Kegel Camp. You can look how to do them online, but they're kind of like your pee stopping muscles. Like when you stop and sew the start of urine, it's like you tense and you relax. Mm-hmm. And so I would do those. And then I would just wait and see, because the thing is for many women, like I think it's important to like when you just want to take it slow. And really, you want to keep your mind engaged. So I even think for you, doing your Kegels and keeping in touch, even if you're not feeling sad. Are you in a relationship?
Yeah, I'm married.
Okay. So I think just like continuing to be intimate with your partner and not making like sex is off the table, because there's still things that you guys can do to stay connected. So I still like, you know, kissing, massages, playing with each other. When you start to feel it again, you know, maybe you'd want to do, you know, maybe not now the first. How are you feeling right now? Like the next, you know. Week, you know, it's been how long?
I mean, 6 weeks.
Six weeks.
So I'm Feeling pretty good.
Oh, you're at the 6 weeks. Okay, so have you been connected with your mm-hmm. partner? Because here's the thing. Have you tried to have sex again yet?
Not yet. I'm kind of nervous about that. So that's why I was calling to see, because like, they didn't explain anything. So
right.
That's what...
I mean, okay. No, I know. And I'm trying to, like, I feel like that to go slow with your partner. I mean, here's the thing. You might not feel anything different. How do you, have you had any, do you have any changes? Have you looked in a mirror? Do you feel, have you felt turned on? Have you connected to your husband since then?
Yes. Okay. We have, intercourse.
Well, what I would do is, because I don't want to, like, I want you to see how you feel. This is what I want you to do. I would love it if you, do you ever masturbate on your own? That's what masturbation is. I guess I love mutual. Okay. So what I would recommend that you like take a bath, get yourself into a comfortable place where you're feeling relaxed, and you masturbate, you take some time, and you see, like, because it's kind of like getting to know you guys, like what is happening down there. And I think you're going to find that probably not much is different. Like, you're not feeling any pain right now. You think you've recovered. And then feel that sexual, like the sexual Stacey that you are, you know, and do that. And then see how it feels. And then when you're with your partner again, your husband, you can just kind of take it slow. And have him, you know, see how it feels for him to touch you, use his fingers, and just like everything. I always think, you know, it helps to go slow with everything. So getting back into it again. But I think that what you could expect is definitely have some lube, because you might be a little bit drier, a good silicone lube. And let him know, like communicate with him, because this is the most important thing, Stacey. And actually, if this, you know, you can always call back, you know, talk to your doctor if there are any side effects after you've sex. But it sounds like, you know, once you masturbate and do this, keep him in the loop. Like, you don't want him to be like, you have come back and you're all like, oh, I'm all healed, right? Let him know this process that you're going through. Because I also think if you have expectations on yourself right now, like, oh, what if I can't orgasm? Or what if I'm not as, you know, that's going to be defeatist. But if you let him know that, like, I want to take it slow and here's what I'm going through, I think that that process alone of being transparent with him will allow you to truly relax into your body and just connect again, and everything will go a lot smoother.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Stacey, keep me posted and let me know how it goes.
All right, well, we have Ryan, 29, from California, who wants to talk about sex robots.
All right. Hey, Ryan, what's going on? Let's talk about it.
Hey, not much. Just, you know, excited I'm living in the future.
Yep.
Where all this stuff is existing.
Right.
You know, I thought it was interesting growing up as a guy, you know, you hear about girls having dildos and all these options, and you, as a guy, you really just kind of have your hand. And but eventually I kind of discovered the Fleshlight.
Oh, okay.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of like a discount one, or not, like a name brand one.
Right.
Or whatever.
It's okay.
But I tried it, and I thought it was really thrilling. It was like kinky, and almost like it was like a different, you can use your imagination a little more.
Yeah.
But, and it, so it was great. But afterwards, I, you know, you feel great, but then you're like, I got to clean this thing.
Oh. I thought you were going to say that you know I thought you were going to say you felt shame.
Same.
Like, some men have orgasms and they like slap their, like they're watching porn and they're like, I feel dirty. But what you're saying is you had to clean it. Yeah, I guess.
I had this like task in my mind. I'm like, okay, I can't clean it like tomorrow. I have to kind of pay attention to this now. It's kind of a mess that needs to be
handled
true. Immediately, which, you know, I guess it's kind of like sex. You kind of have to, you always have that cleanup phase afterwards where it's just, you know,
but it was worth it. We have to clean up our toys. You guys, women have to clean up our toys after every time we use them too. Because then it gets bacteria.
This thing had like cracks and crevices. And like, I honestly, it didn't come with instructions. I was like, I don't know how to clean this thing. It took me forever.
Oh my God.
It wasn't worth it. So I want an option as a guy, like, that I'm not going to have to feel like it's more of a chore than it should
be.
Yeah,
well, what else do we have? I mean, there are disposable ones. There's just Tenga, T-E-N-G-A. They make disposable masturbation sleeves that you just might want to buy. They're cheaper, and you can just kind of throw it away after.
Really?
That's the easy fix. And then, yeah, there's just, people don't know what the Fleshlight is. It's like, it kind of like they say it out of a penis, but it simulates like the real deal. Like, it feels like, with the ridges and the bumps, it's like they're a special patented material developed by NASA. That's their whole thing with Fleshlight. That it just feels like, because, yeah, men have their hands. They're like, what do I need? I got my hand. But, Ryan, I love that you checked it, that you tried it. And you're like, yeah that was kind of cool.
And the other thing is lube, too. You got to, because at first I couldn't do it without, I was like, oh, I need to lube.
You got to use lube. Yeah, and actually the Fleshlight, you got to use lube. And I don't understand why men don't use lube every time they masturbate. We don't understand it. I would want it every time. Isn't it just hard? Don't you just, like, ever, yeah.
None of my roommates do.
It's not a dry rub. You know, it's not a dry rub. But
though. But some men don't use lotion. They don't use anything. I get you could use lotion, but I think you should use lube instead. I'm just saying. But also, Ryan, the other thing is the fleshlight makes a quick shot. It's called a quick shot. And it's a little smaller, but it's open on both sides. So you can just clean it up the old-fashioned way. All right, Ryan?
Wherever I want.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There you go. I'm full of things for you. Also, the hot octopus is a cool toy. It's a little more pricey, but it's a hot octopus pulse 3. It's like a half a masturbation. It goes around you. It's a toy. It oscillates on your frenulum. I love that Ryan's getting curious here with all the toys. So I'm just throwing them all out. All right. Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for calling. We haven't talked about the fleshlight in a while. I feel like 5 years ago, the fleshlight was, we talked about a lot more on the show, but like, I love it. Fleshlight is cool for men to mix it up. If you're on the road a lot, you want to try something different than your hand. Like women, we've got so many toys, right? We can try different sensations. We've got all those nerve endings to stimulate. Well, men, just because we have 8,000 and they have 4,000, that's still a lot of nerve endings to stimulate.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. And the cool thing about like the quick shot, or I think they have like the flesh skin. It's like you can use it with your partner and it just like makes, it's like the handy hand job helper.
Yeah, it is. Right? It's hand job helper. Use lube and use the handy hand job helper. I know what you're talking about. I think the quick shot was also a hand job helper.
Yeah, like why not have something to help speed it along?
Why do we think that sex has to be this whole like natural, like nothing's, we don't need anything, condoms, lube, toy. Like it's just be our bodies together. And erotic bliss. Which sometimes that works, but not always.
Which is also funny because there's always like these random stories that you see where guys are sticking their dicks in like vacuums or like other random things.
Guys
and I'm
are
like,
sticking their dicks in everything they can.
Right? So might as well get a toy that was meant for your dick to be in.
Yeah, get a toy to stick your dick in.
And not the vacuum because that sounds painful.
Such a good idea. Yes.
Let's talk to Sarah, who's 24 in Pennsylvania. She wants to know how to keep a sex life going in a long distance relationship.
Hey, Sarah. Thanks for calling. How can I help you?
Hi.
All right.
I just find myself getting frustrated.
I understand. Yeah. How long you guys been together?
4 years.
4 years, long distance, and you're 24. So since you're 20, you've been in a long distance relationship.
Well, we were together for 3 years, and then he went to med school across the country.
Got it. Okay. So of course you're frustrated. You miss him, right?
Yeah.
Is there an end date where you know you're going to be in the same city?
We have one more year distance.
Okay. So you're trying to keep it interesting while he's away?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I have to say that it's a good time. If you're in a long distance relationship and you know there's an end, which I like, because I'm not into all these long distance things and we don't know what we're going to do. We might just be long distance forever. But it's great time to do this because there's so much great like technology now that can actually keep you more connected. So do you guys ever do any like phone sex or sexting or FaceTime, anything? Do you ever do any of that?
We've done it a couple times and it's been good.
Okay. I mean,
but there just hasn't been like that much to it.
Right. Okay. Well, I think it'd be fun to set a date night with him when you're on FaceTime or Skype. And then you have a date where you're actually like having dinner together or you're each having a glass of wine. And then you guys could have some intimate conversations there, like about your sex life. You could play a game. There's some really great games. You could each like pick a, you could, there's some online games or there's some card, like there's one called Monogamy, which we love. It's like Monopoly, but Monogamy, even though you're not in the same place, or there's some trivia questions you could ask each other. Just get to know each other. There's like Mad Libs for sex. There's other things we have. There's just fun board games. There's fun questions that you could get to know each other and ask intimate things about your sex life. You guys could fill out a yes, no, maybe list and figure out what you guys both like to do in bed. You know, get more intimate. Like start talking about things that you desire, maybe talking about things that you really love from your past and just kind of, have a real date. You could also use toys. Do you guys ever use toys? Because there's WeVibe makes toys that you can actually use something called the WeConnect app. And so he could be long distance and be controlling the toy with you in another city, another country.
Oh,
yeah.
That sounds good. Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing.
I know, right? There's one called the Moxie, and it's so cool, and it's like a wearable vibe. I mean, you could be wearing it out and about, and he could control it from anywhere on his phone. You guys, and they actually, in their app, their WeConnect app, it's kind of like a FaceTime thing. There's video, too. So you don't have to use the video function, but you can. You could, like, call each other, and you could be controlling it. But I feel like you're probably missing him because you miss the intimacy. And so if there's a way you could, like, look into each other's eyes, have a conversation, maybe you could, have some good conversations about your sex life.
I miss the touch.
Yeah, well, that's what's hard because you're not in the same room. So, I mean, how often do you see him?
About once a month.
Okay. So I think it'd be fun to kind of, like, anticipation is so hot. Like, that's the thing about long-distance relationships is it is already is hot because you have that built-in, like, missing the person and then the build-up. But maybe if you start to kind of plan your next sex session together, like, what would it look like? Maybe you're dressing up. Maybe you're role-playing. Maybe you're using some toys together and then you both have something to look forward to. Would you feel comfortable talking to him about any of this stuff?
Yeah, he's really open.
Okay. I hope that's helpful for you. Thanks, Sarah. Thanks for calling.
Yeah,
let me know how it goes.
So. Thank you.
You're so welcome. I think we have a blog too, Long Distance Sex. Do we have one on our site?
Yeah, there was like a few things. So just search Long Distance on
Search
sex
Long family. Distance Sex. So Long Distance on our website, Sarah. We've got a great post for you blog there that will help you out as well.
Mm-hmm.
It is a good time. Have the conversations.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it's good that if they see each other at least once a month.
Yeah,
I think that's
like
that
often. Is good. Yeah, and then plan for the sex. Plan for something.
Yeah, make it like an escapade.
Yeah.
I don't do that enough, actually. Like, plan out a whole sex session.
Yeah, I think you should.
I'm going to, well, I mean,
plan it out.
Too, but eventually.
Know. Like, how would you plan it out?
I would, like, figure out exactly my scenario. I'd have all the toys out.
Yes.
Rolled up. I'd have lingerie ready to go and be like, okay, hour one.
Right.
Like all, no penetration, all the other stuff. And then hour two, then let's get into that. And then hour three, let's like take a snack break.
Yes.
And then let's go back.
Yeah. Adventures in different rooms.
I love just like having sex and then eating something naked and then just going back to the sex.
Yes, me too. And then never leaving your house all weekend.
Oh, it's been so long.
I know. Same. That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast. And share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of it, they will too. We release shows on Tuesdays and Fridays, and look out for a bonus episode every now and then. Find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. And I've been told I give really good newsletters. So sign up at sexwithemily.com and don't forget to check out our blogs. If you want to talk to me, ask your questions about your sex life, dating, or relationships, email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or call into my SiriusXM show Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, and call me, 888-94-STARS. That's 888-947-8277. Get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. You can watch my masterclass on masterclass.com/Emily Morse. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.